right. So, oh no. Okay. Sorry. All right. Working again. Okay. So I'll just give a short introduction of myself first for those of you who don't know me. My name's Kristen. I go to House of God in San Francisco, and I'm a freshman at UCLA right now. And I grew up going to church and winter conference like all of you. So last year I was sitting where you guys are sitting, so it's a little weird to be up here speaking, but I'll do my best. And I really hope that my sharing today will glorify God and help you guys in your spiritual walks. There's not really one thing that I'll be sharing about, but I'll just talk about a couple things that God has shown me growing up and in my first quarter of college. So sorry if it's a bit all over the place. There's a lot that I've been learning. So as I said before, I grew up in the church, and so I've always had a pretty substantial amount of knowledge about Bible stories and the attributes of God. But honestly, I didn't truly understand the great worth of God's word or spending time in it until college. Because at House of God, there's kind of an expectation that you read your Bible and you pray, but no one's ever come alongside me and asked me like how my devos were going or what I've been learning or any of that. And I guess I thought I knew so much about God through children's ministry or message given from the pulpit that I didn't really place a value on reading his word. And I was also really prideful. I didn't want to tell people I wasn't reading the Bible because that's what a good Christian does, and I didn't really want to look bad. But eventually I started doing devos every day, or at least I tried to, but it was still more of an obligation rather than something that I really wanted to do. And so I just skimmed the passages, and I didn't really try to understand what I was reading. So if you guys are struggling with reading your Bible and finding true joy in doing that, I totally get it. The Bible used to be a synonym of boring and dry for me, and I honestly didn't understand why it was that important. If you guys read your Bibles every day and God speaks to you through it, that's really awesome, but I'm guessing most of you don't read it every day or even at all, or you feel like it's kind of boring. And I think it's okay to feel that way. That's probably the norm among young people nowadays since there are so many distractions. But if you truly want a desire to learn more about God and read his word, he'll be gracious and grant it to you. And a wise person once told me to pray for the desire to have a desire. But really, reading the Bible shouldn't be an obligation to us as Christians, because the Bible is everything we need. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." And the pure spiritual milk is the word of God. You can get secondhand information through speakers or through the experiences of other Christians, and it's true that God can work through all those means, but nothing is as good for your growth as going directly to the source. The verse mentions newborn babies, and that's really what we are. We're babies in our spiritual growth, or at least I am. Even though I had grown up in the church, I never really grew because I was still living in sin, and I refused to open up my heart to the word of God. Babies love milk, and they can't survive without it. And as Christians, we need to have the same longing for God's word as infants who want milk. Because every single word in the Bible is God-breathed, like it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. And if you are truly a Christian, if you have truly experienced God's great love and his overwhelming mercy and grace, then you'll want to live for him, and you'll want to please him. And the only way you'll know what he wants for your life and what he has planned is by reading his word. You can't be obedient to something that you don't know. And you have to form the foundation of your life on your own convictions from the word, not on what your parents tell you or what your church feeds you, even though those are all valid things. The word of God is what brings convictions to our life. And a speaker at my college ministry put it this way. He said, "Reading gives you information, and this information gives you reason to believe. And this belief allows you to form convictions, and those convictions on how to live will lead to an affection of the one who you are living for." I honestly don't really understand how the Bible went from being super dry to God's living and breathing word to me. I think it happened when I was at college, and I was surrounded by people who had such a visible passion for God that it made me want to have a desire for him too. And I was definitely struggling to find that desire because I never really had that in my life before. So I think something that really helped me was just praying to God to give me the desire. And even though it didn't seem like he was answering my prayer, in hindsight, like looking back, he was. And as I did my part in opening up my Bible, he started to reveal himself to me more. So if you have a desire for God to reveal himself to you, reading God's word will give you an affection for him, and through that you will have a true desire to get to know him. And another thing to note is, because I saw such deep conviction in the lives of other Christians and saw the love of Christ so visibly in their lives, it made me want that same desire. So my encouragement for you guys is to be the person in your church body, in your youth group, in your school, in your friend group that inspires others to pursue Christ, because that's one way that we can glorify him. Anyways, so back to Bible reading. I recently started studying the book of 1 Peter for my devotions. Basically, what I plan on doing is to read the entirety of 1 Peter for a whole month and study a couple verses from it a day. And honestly, the more I read, the more excited I become to live my life truly for God and to learn more about him. Even though I'm reading the same book every day, I get something different every day. And honestly, looking back, I wish I started really studying the Word of God earlier, because it's so refreshing and it gives me a sense of lasting happiness that I've never felt before. In high school, I could barely get through a couple chapters before my mind would wander because I didn't want to be reading my Bible, or I was just reading it just to read it. But now that I'm actually looking to receive God's word and looking to study what his purpose for me as a Christian is, it's such a blessing to have time to read his word, and it's not a burden anymore. I think this winter break, I spent like 3 to 4 hours a day studying the word, which is way more than in high school when it was about like 5 to 10 minutes. And you guys may think that's crazy. I would rather like watch Netflix or play soccer or something, but speaking as someone who binge watched way too many TV shows in middle school and high school and played like 4 sports a season, it's definitely not worth it, because I have never regretted spending time in the word, but I definitely regret how many hours I spent being idle and doing pointless things. I get that TV shows are gratifying, sports are gratifying, but they're only gratifying in that one moment. And as a Christian, our joy should only come from God. I can confidently say that any joy I've ever felt was not because I got first place in a video game or got a trophy during the soccer playoffs, but it's because of an incident directly related to seeing God's power in my life or in other believers' lives. If I was back in high school and someone was telling me this, I'd be thinking, but you're so much older and experienced, and I've never experienced God, so it wouldn't help to read his word. And by the way, I'm only like 1 year older than some of you. But here's what I would say to myself if I could go back in time. Are you really looking for God? Or are you just doing Christian things on the surface and expecting God to reveal himself to you while you still have an unrepentant heart and are still living the same sinful life? The Bible is the gateway to God, and he has so graciously given us the Bible in its entirety. I always hear of how people in China are so zealous for the Word of God that even though they may only have a few pages, they study it to no end and they have every single word memorized. The Word of God is so good if you just truly have the heart to read it and spend time. And when people used to tell me to spend time in the Word, I took it to mean just read it for a couple minutes and expect something to happen, or expect God to just magically show me his will. But you really need to study it and try to interpret what God's saying. I mean, just start with basic facts of what's going on in the passage. And if you don't understand something, don't skip it. Look it up or talk to someone about it. You have to know who God is and why you believe what you believe. And especially now that you guys are young, you have the mental capabilities to remember what you read, and you also have all this time. Now is the perfect time to be reading the Bible. Because God's word is so precious, and I really hope that God reveals that to you guys, because I have never felt as close to God as this winter break going through his word. Okay, on a different note, I think being exposed to a college fellowship has really helped me grow in my walk, especially having other brothers and sisters in Christ my age who are so passionate and in love with Christ that every word and action breathes the word of God and their love for Christ. And seeing their example makes me want to love Christ more and serve him to my full capacity. And I think that's something that I was lacking in middle school and high school, a solid group of Christians who wanted to grow together. I would sometimes get a taste of true fellowship with other believers during conferences like WCCC and stuff, but not really at House of God. And it was always kind of lonely for me in church, not in terms of social life, because there's always people to talk to, but because there wasn't that support from others around me who genuinely wanted to grow. Also, I was the only girl my age for a while, so I was kind of left out sometimes when the guys did stuff. But anyways, I would definitely encourage you guys to fellowship with one another, whether it's here or back at church. Just asking each other how you guys are doing spiritually, and when you're asked that, don't just give the generic answer, I'm doing okay, how are you? But really be genuine in your struggles and your joys, because we're not meant to grow alone. And for me, when other people have been able to keep me accountable of my sin or keep me dedicated to reading the word, I have grown so much more than if I was trying to do everything myself like I was doing in middle school and high school. Even though I'm kind of on a spiritual high right now, there have definitely been many lows. And there was a time in high school when I kind of started drifting away from the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, there are 5 warning passages to believers. And the first is found in Hebrews 2:1-4, which you guys can look up later if you want. But basically, those verses serve as a warning to us Christians because we tend to drift away from God towards sin and the world. And the author of Hebrews uses this warning of the threat of drifting to provoke us in a thankfulness of the gospel. So on a side note, I think something that I've been realizing more and more too is the power and importance of the gospel. Because up until high school, the gospel was really just a story to me. And even when people would bring up how important it was, its importance was also just head knowledge. I mean, everyone knows that God sent Jesus down to earth to die for our sins, and he was resurrected 3 days later, and it becomes something that we just glaze over and something we don't give enough importance to. But going to college, I was really challenged to examine what I believed in, and I realized that the gospel should mean more to us than anything in the world, because it reveals to us the characteristics of the God who we love and the God who we serve and who has saved us from eternal punishment. And I have been personally convicted that because I have been bought with a price, like it says in 1 Peter, I must obey him. Because when you buy something, it becomes yours. And God bought us, so that means we are his. So we always have to remember who owns us. How we dress, how we speak, our life, our goals, our wishes, they should all be used to glorify the one who owns us and who knows us best. Because without God, I am a broken, vile sinner who can do no right. But with God, when I surrender everything, I am more than anything I could be on my own, and I can be used for his glory. For example, I have this one roommate in college. She's an international student from Korea, and she's very rich. So I feel like she's very entitled. She feels like she's entitled to things. And if I wasn't a Christian and didn't have the life of Christ in me, I would probably hate her so much right now. She is so, I'll keep it PG, but she's like inconsiderate all the time. She comes back to the dorms at like 4 or 5 in the morning after doing questionable things with her friends. She never takes out the trash. She leaves dirty laundry everywhere and borrows my stuff without asking. And in the beginning, I was really struggling to be gracious to her, because when there's trash on the floor, I'm a perfectionist and like really clean freak. So when there's like trash on the floor, my first instinct is to yell at her or to grumble against her in my heart. But by God's grace, I've learned to humble myself. And instead of instigating drama, I try to be a good testimony of Christ's love and just help her out, throwing out her trash or cleaning up after her. And at the end of the quarter, I found a note on my desk that said something like, "Thanks for being a good roommate this quarter. I know I can be difficult to live with, but I've appreciated everything you've done, and have a good winter break." And just something that small shows that my roommate was noticing my every word and action. And even when I was thinking in my head, like, "Why, God, did you place me with this random roommate? I don't like her. She's messy, all this other stuff." I know that God put me there for a reason. And this coming quarter, I hope I can continue displaying Christ's love and hope that she's able to see that and possibly come to Christ as well. So you never know how your actions will affect other people or how God can use it. So keep being faithful to him and try your best to imitate Christ in every way, because he is our example and the standard that we should be measuring ourselves to. And I know the temptation in middle school and high school is to compare ourselves to others. And most of the time, the people we compare ourselves to are non-Christians. And that's something that I struggle with then and even now, because sometimes I think, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, or what do my friends think of me always saying no to hanging out because I have church, or what will my classmate think of me if I don't let him copy off my homework? I gave into so many temptations. I cheated on tests. I let people copy off my paper. I made fun of people because everyone else was doing it. I skipped church to hang out with friends. Name any sin, and I've probably done it, except the big ones like murder and stuff. But yeah, I'm so imperfect and sinful, but God loves me anyway. And when you wrong your friends, they might abandon you, and trends change, and society will never truly accept you for who you are. But as Christians, we can be secure in the fact that our outward beauty, our grades, what our friends think of us, they don't matter in the end, because all God cares about is our heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3, there's a verse that says, "Let your adorning not be merely external, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." And that's something that I really encourage you guys to think about. Who are you trying to impress? Are you trying to impress the world, who's going to let you down anyway and whose rewards are perishable? Or are you trying to impress the Almighty God who has saved you from your sin with an imperishable price, the blood of Christ, and who loves you unconditionally? Those are just some questions to consider. And I know it's hard to think of God as supreme in your life, especially since you may or may not have truly experienced him yet. But God is our only treasure. Everything in the world will disappoint you. You'll eventually move on from certain friends, and by the time you get to college, it won't matter what grades you got in middle school or high school. Middle school especially, I don't even remember what grades I got. But you'll lose soccer games and track races, but only God is forever. And we have an imperishable reward in heaven if we are Christians. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, like it says in 1 Peter. And that's something that I've been working on too, like putting my full satisfaction in Christ. And I know it's hard because in high school I always thought, like, wow, I must start around varsity or I got straight A's again. So that becomes who I am and I lose my true identity as a Christian. But again, looking back, no one really cares about those things. They are nice memories, but they will eventually fade. Only God is worth it. And I would say, if you even have the slightest desire to know him more, talk to people who you can see have that fire and passion for God and ask them how they have been able to experience God. And once again, read your Bibles, because that's important. Okay, but anyways, going back to my drifting away in high school, it happened in my senior year, and I was actually really unhappy at House of God because I thought, I'm not growing, and there's no one here who can help me do that either. So I started church hopping, and I ended up going to a church plant that was right across the street from my house, so it was super convenient. And I went there for about 3 months, but because it's a church plant, it was mostly people who have graduated from college, and there was barely anyone my age. Back then, I was a senior in high school, so. And so I kind of felt uncomfortable there, and even though the messages were really good, because I didn't have any peers who I could grow with, I started feeling discontent again. And I don't really know how it started, but I stopped going to church for a while. And in the beginning, it was only because I accidentally missed church when my alarm clock didn't go off, but then it became more of a regular thing. And because I didn't have anyone invested in my spiritual life, there was no one to tell and no one asked me either. And there's no other way to explain it but by using the word drifting. Because drifting comes from a general neglect of all Christian things, like apathy towards the Bible, hardening of the consciousness to sin, and neglecting Christian fellowship. And I continued to drift further and further as I paid less attention and became more careless. And I partly rationalized what was happening by saying, well, I'm going off to college soon and I'll find a fellowship there. But it was only because I was so deep in my own sin that I couldn't see God anymore. I was so content with wallowing in self-pity, and I was struggling with other sins like jealousy, pride, and ungodliness, among others. And as my grip on Christ slackened, worship became unimportant. I began to accept even the slightest excuse to miss church. Like, for example, one week it was raining, and because I walked to church and didn't want to get wet, I didn't go. Dumb reasons like that. But I compromised more and fell deeper into sin. And when I would hear the gospel, it was just white noise to me. And I think this drifting stemmed from a discontent at House of God, some of which was merited and others weren't, but it also further stemmed from a discontent with God and where he had placed me. And before I knew it, 3 months had passed since I had gone to church, and I was definitely feeling the effects. And I think so are my parents and my friends too, probably. And I was so spiritually low, But it's only by the grace of God that I was awakened to this drifting away from him by one of my best friends who pointed out how deep in sin I was and how fellowship with the church really is important. And that's something I'm also grateful for, that God placed certain people in my life who have led me back to Christ. So it's really important to choose your friends wisely. My college pastor always says, never make an intimate friend of someone who is not an intimate friend of Christ. Anyways, back to my other experience. Something else my college pastor said was, the slow drift comes from a wary familiarity of what used to be important, the gospel, and forgetting your spiritual desire when the gospel was fresh in you. And that really resonated with me because, as I talked about earlier, the gospel had never really been emphasized to me. But now it's the only reason I live, and by it I have the power to share the love of Christ with others. Without God, I am nothing. And like Paul, we should count everything as loss in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as our Savior, as it says in Philippians. We need to return to what he has done and be freshly aware of the finality of what he did on the cross so that we don't drift away. And that's a lesson I'm still learning myself too, about preaching the gospel to myself every day. And all this is what I've realized looking back at what I experienced. And I think in hindsight, I definitely see God working in my life. But when I was in middle school and high school, I thought I was the only exception to God's plan. And as in, like, he wasn't working in my life while he was working in everyone else's. And I think the pinnacle of this thought came when I was choosing colleges, because that's the first big decision that you have to make on your own. And that's the first time I really tried to pray to God about a decision, but I kept thinking, like, why isn't God answering my prayer? I always hear people at church say, God showed me this, or God convicted me of that, but it never happened to me before. So when I got my college acceptances back, I didn't really know what to do. I eventually narrowed it down to two colleges, UCLA and UCI. And my sister goes to UCI, and she's a senior there now. So I've always felt very comfortable on the campus since I go to visit her. And I knew there was a good church and fellowship, so I really wanted to go there. But when I got into UCLA, I was also given a scholarship. And because I have to pay college tuition basically on my own, that was really attractive to me. And it's also more of a prestigious school. But for a while, I was still leaning toward UCI, also because UCLA is really cutthroat competitive, and I didn't know if I would survive there. And UCI seemed so easy and attractive, and I felt like I could succeed there. And I was also scared of making the wrong choice. Like, I kept imagining that I'd commit to a school, and then God would be up in heaven saying, like, haha, you chose the wrong one, something like that. But after I talked to a lot of people about my decision, I eventually chose UCLA because I felt that's where I could glorify God the most. And going to UCI, I would probably have completely relied on my own abilities because it's a relatively easier school. I mean, college isn't easy, but yeah, it's a little bit easier. And going to UCLA, I knew I would have to fully rely on God because I'm so inferior to the many smart people that got in there. And it's only by God's grace that I got in the first place. But I eventually chose UCLA. And at the time when I submitted my intent to register, I was really scared and nervous. But looking back, it's been such a blessing to go to UCLA because I've met like some of the most passionate Christians I've ever met, and where I've learned to completely entrust my life to God. And now I know that God has been working in my life even when I didn't see him. Every extracurricular that I did, every grade I got was predestined by him in order that I could get into the school that I got into. And every decision I make from now until the day I die is a part of his plan. And I just have to learn to trust that he will take care of me because, like it says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of decisions you have to make in middle school and high school, like what classes you're going to take, what friends you're going to invest in, and smaller things like if you're going to obey your parents or if you're going to pay attention to this winter conference message or other things like that. But in every decision, just remember that your purpose on this earth is to glorify God, meaning that everything we do should be a reflection of the one who so graciously saved us from death and brought us into his glorious light. And I don't know if any of the stuff I just said resonated with you guys. I mean, I know what it's like to be talked at for 30 minutes, 20 minutes. But hopefully the Lord will continue to work in your lives even if you don't see it right now. And if you have any questions about anything I said, or even if you have questions about things I didn't talk about, feel free to talk to me sometime in this conference. Thanks.
Ahead of time, who you're gonna meet, or did you just meet people then?
Oh, so